by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome in on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors, and have Janet Millick with us, as we always do, from Wyoming Game and Fish Department. And Janet, we are into March. We kind of had a little shock all of a sudden that we're already into March. Mid-March is here, and that means that there are things happening that maybe haven't happened since November that people need to be aware of and get back on the playing field.
That's right. AIS, Aquatic Invasive Species Inspection Stations, are getting ready to open up. And it's crazy. I've seen several here coming into the Game and Fish office, folks getting their boats out. And it's just like, wow, this morning there's snowflakes in the air, but all the waters are open and people are having fun.
Eric Hansen is with us, who's the AIS specialist for the Casper region. And Eric, I know you've been on the ground. You've been out to Glendo and where else? Mandeville, you said, and setting up shops. You guys will be ready to go here soon.
Yeah, it's amazing that people are already going to be thinking about boating, but we're definitely there. Like Janet mentioned, waters are open in the region. You know, Alcova and Pathfinder, even up the North Platte River, is getting ready to start hopping. So we've been setting up and getting our check stations available for those folks that need inspections when they stop by.
Will there be any big changes on the check stations this year?
No, I'm glad to say for once we don't have any big changes this year. You know, we still are going to be following that March 1 through November 30. If you're coming from out of state or if you pass an open check station and you're in state, you need to stop and be inspected. But after all the kind of major news the last couple years with waters popping up infested closer to us, we think we're in a good spot to catch a lot of those folks and help them out.
With a lot of those waters, we still haven't had any major issues in Wyoming, I assume, right? We're still in the clear?
We're still in the clear for zebra and quagga mussels. All of our testing came back negative last year. We did intercept quite a number of boats last year that had aquatic invasive species present, actually a record for us. So we inspected nearly 70,000 boats last year, and I expect we're going to see a good number this year as well.
And, you know, Drew, something that I find very interesting, Eric and I spent a weekend at the South Dakota Outdoor Show, and it was very enlightening, I guess, to say, to kind of talk to a lot of the folks there and really learn about the different AIS programs around the state, which, you know, we know the foundations for those, but the number of boaters, I'm trying to think of a good way to say this, the number of boaters from our surrounding states that don't have a clue that Wyoming is still a negative state and we don't want these things brought in was crazy, right? They were like, oh yeah, everybody has them, right? So it's not a big deal. So it was really enlightening, like I said, to learn that, you know, the efforts that Wyoming is putting into place are definitely needed because a lot of the surrounding states aren't taking the efforts, making the efforts that Wyoming is to make sure that, you know, we can stay clean, drain, dry and negative of some of those fairly nasty aquatic invasive species.
And that really is a tip of the hat to the people of Wyoming too, that, you know, they know what to do and they know how to, you know, treat the waters with the respect that it deserves so that it remains clean.
Yeah, and that brings up a great point, Drew. You know, this program really hinges on the public support. And over the last few years, we've seen a great increase in public awareness and public knowledge of folks knowing what they need to do when they're traveling from water to water. And that's really the kind of pinnacle of what this program is to educate folks on how they can keep their equipment clean and keep waters clean in Wyoming.
Is there any way that when people come into the state, I mean, obviously they have to stop, but do you get a lot of feedback from those people saying, you know, why does this happen? And, you know, you're ruining my day and those types of comments?
You know, I would say in the past, Drew, we got a lot more of the kind of you're taking time up out of our trip and that kind of sentiment from folks. But recently, you know, even this week when just setting up the check stations, having folks pull in and saying that they're glad to see us and, you know, getting kind of used to just where we are and what we're doing each year, I've seen a big kind of shift in the mentality of how people view what we're doing out there. And it's been really helpful.
And, you know, back to the outdoor show, Drew, the number of people that just said thank you, like this has, you know, increased the cost of me keeping my boat clean here in South Dakota. So thank you for keeping Wyoming clean. You know, those sorts of things were really shocking to me that people were so appreciative. And so I know that it can be a challenge and it is time out of your day to stop and do those things. But wow, when you kind of listen to the stories going on in other states, it's pretty miraculous that we're doing what we're doing and hope to continue in on a good path.
Is Wyoming the only surrounding state that is totally clean?
So Montana is currently also don't have any infested or positive waters. But unfortunately, in the last couple of years, you know, we have seen water start to pop up in Idaho and Colorado and some of those states that, for all intents and purposes, have just as good of a program as we do and, you know, do a lot to keep these things out. So it goes to show that even with the preventative measures, you know, this is still something that could happen. It only takes one.
Once your waters are infested, is there anything that can be done to, you know, refurbish that water?
There are options, but they're all kind of the nuclear option if you were going to go that direction. Some of the waters that are able to be drained and froze over winter, you know, they've done experiments with that and studies. There's also treatments like Zequinox, which is a copper sulfate based treatment that kills mollusks. But in the concentrations that you would need to eradicate mussels, you're also eradicating most of the fish and other species in that water body as well. So you're kind of hitting the reset button at that point.
And if you think through that, Drew, I mean, the areas that Eric is talking about that they have actually tried to do some of these treatments are small ponds, right? It'd be like trying to tackle a Yesness Pond here in Casper. So something that's a little bit more achievable than something like Pathfinder, Glendo, Keyhole, those places probably not achievable.
Well, and I think that, you know, the people that may complain about stopping for 5 minutes to get their boat checked, if they would look at it more along the lines of when these waters get infested, it's there and there's nothing that can be done. And that ruins a lot of what Wyoming has built its base on.
It's helpful too, if folks realize that there are plans in place called rapid response plans, and those are available to view on our website. But really what it boils down to is the little bit of headache now becomes a lot more when these waters become infested. So, you know, that 5 minute time frame to get your boat inspected may be an increase, and you're going to have longer waits and things like that with an infested water. So the longer that we can keep waters not infested with zebra or quagga mussel, really the less headache it is on the public and us as well. So,
you know, over the winter time when things freeze up on Glendo or Alcova or Pathfinder, the river is still open. Is it encouraged still that people be educated in checking their own boats?
Absolutely. Yep. If inspection stations aren't open, you know, the clean, drain, dry motto is not something that we hold, you know, for them to do. That is something that anyone can do. It's just proper vigilance in cleaning your craft and making sure that it's ready to go. And, you know, it is in regulation if you're coming from an infested water on that off season between November and March that you still need to seek out an inspection there. So it is really just getting back to the point, though, that it kind of hinges on all of us to make sure that everything is clean, drained, and dry before we launch. And whether that's, you know, you're hitting the river in December and there's no one open, you know, you can make sure that those things are taken care of before you launch.
And so, Drew, Eric brings up a great point right now that I think is important to point out, that coming up this spring, we will be doing some trainings for people that want to become private inspectors. And so what that entails is, okay, I'm a fisherman, I often travel in and out. I want to learn what to look for on my boat that may be an invasive species that I am transferring in and out. So I'm going to become an inspector so that I can do my own inspections and make sure things are clean, drain, dry. I can get my own receipts. I can do all the things that I need to do, and I can help my buddies too. And so those are things that the Game and Fish does offer. And so it's, you know, not something where you have to find us on a weekend or after hours that sometimes can be a headache, but you can also do it yourself.
Yeah. And that's April 13th is the date. And that'll be right at the Game and Fish office here in Casper. But then also all over the state, there will be different training sessions. So if you miss that one, you can go to wgfd.wild.gov, and the entire schedule is printed up there on the website. So it makes it a little bit easier.
And it absolutely is enlightening. I mean, you get to do a lot of the biology behind the invasive species, but also learn that, you know, the things that you're feeling for oftentimes, let's just say on your boat, are, it's just like feeling for sandpaper. So oftentimes people think that we're looking for these big mussels, right? These clam-like looking things that will be visible to the eye, and it's actually not. So kind of learning a little bit more about that and why the dry part of that is so important is kind of interesting.
Eric, if your boat is infested like that, can it do damage to your boat as well?
Absolutely. So that's one of the major issues when it comes to recreational boating with zebra and quagga mussels, especially if you leave your boat moored for any period of time. They can get into the water intakes, cause overheating. They can cause drag issues if they're encrusted on the hull of the boat. So, you know, really it's for everyone is why we do it. You know, we don't want to see your boat get destroyed by these as well as the waters and the fisheries and things like that.
And, you know, the cost of that is also something that people don't think about. We heard about in South Dakota, those folks were saying, you know, gosh, I have to pull my boat out every 2 weeks and have it scraped and washed down so that I can operate it before I go back out again, because, you know, it does overheat the motor and all the bilge pumps and everything kind of get goofed up a little. So that's something else to keep in mind is it does become an expense to the boater in addition to ruining your fisheries and all of them.
I don't know if you've gone out and looked at the price of a brand new boat, but there are some of these boats that are six figures. So imagine not paying attention to the upkeep of your boat or, you know, doing the proper steps. You're ruining a $100,000 boat just because you don't want to spend 5 minutes.
Absolutely. And, you know, we understand that a lot of folks, when they get into boating, there's a lot of questions and those things do come up. And I recommend, even if folks are in the area around a check station, stop in and talk to our inspectors. They have that knowledge to help you understand what you need to do before you can launch in Wyoming. And really, once you lay out the steps and details, it's not as big of a hurdle as people tend to think. So
even if someone does attend this education course, they still have to stop at the check stations. This doesn't give them a free pass.
Absolutely. So anytime, even if your boat has been inspected and not left the state, if you pass an open check station, you at least need to stop and show proof of a prior inspection. And then based off of some questions that our technicians will ask, that may need another inspection or not. But, you know, we typically try to get folks through as quick as we can. We understand that we don't need to hold them up any longer than we need to if they're coming through with a previously inspected boat.
Yeah, so just a few minutes of your time is a great way to, you know, keep our fisheries the way that they are.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the neat things, Drew, about this program is we often have return inspectors. And so these technicians that are out there get to know you, right? Like they're people that you encounter, some folks on the daily. And so if you keep your boat drained, clean, and dry, it can go so quickly because they know you. They know that you've been, you know, doing what you need to do to keep your boat in shape. They saw you yesterday. They know you didn't have a chance to run across state lines or launch in another body of water. And so those are things that to keep in mind also. And also back at the public, just a huge thanks. I know we've talked a little bit about the negativity that we do get at some of these check stations, but for the most part, everybody is super supportive, and we really want to thank folks for taking that little bit of extra time, because it does make a difference in Wyoming, and that's what's keeping Wyoming, Wyoming.
You can go to wgfd.wyo.gov and find the dates that all of those classes and education courses will be offered up in Casper. April 13th will be that day. Janet and Eric, thank you guys so much, and here's to a great 2024 boating season.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we're back, Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Wyoming Game and Fish. We have Brandon Werner with us along with Janet. And Janet, I know that this time of year is an exciting year. We talked to Eric about the AIS and how boating season is just about upon us. But also there's another season that is here that a lot of folks around the Casper area love to participate in, and some may not even know that it's an opportunity.
And that is right. So an opportunity it is, shed hunting. So it is something where people go and look for the antlers that have been shed by big game, whether it's elk or mule deer or whitetail deer. And so they like to get out there on the ground, hunt the prairie, and put some miles on for sure.
And not only is it a good opportunity to kind of see, you know, what's out in the fields and, you know, all over Wyoming, but that kind of gives you a little bit of research for next season, because if you're finding sheds, more than likely that's a pretty popular place for the animals to be, isn't it, Brandon?
A little bit yes and a little bit no. So animals move around quite a bit. So this time of year, they're on their winter ranges, and then they'll start transitioning to their summer ranges in the spring and summer, and then they'll fall range be back to their winter next year. So a little bit yes, a little bit no.
When people are going out to do the shed hunting, what is the real reason? I mean, because you're not getting anything but the antlers. Is it just kind of a, hey, look what I found, or is there something to it?
Well, it's just a really good way to get out and about this time of year. There's not a lot to do. So some people are getting, just want to be out in the country and enjoy nature. So yeah, you go out there, you can see some wildlife, pick up a neat antler, and just take some cool pictures and enjoy the day.
It's funny, I asked you that because someone actually came to me and asked, well, why do people go out and do that? And I was like, well, you know, if you look in like in Jackson where they have, you know, the refuge there, and they have the Ark, and they've got, you know, as designs, and that's Wyoming, I think, to me. That's a lot of Wyoming. It's part of the culture.
It is. And, you know, a lot of folks use those for arts and crafts. That sounds kind of cutesy, but it isn't necessarily. A lot of folks can sell them. They use them to make chandeliers. They use them for decoration. And Jackson is a perfect example of how people do use it. And so, yeah, it's a popular thing out there.
Now, Brandon, do you have to have a license to go out and shed hunt?
You do not need a license here around Casper to go and shed hunt. Just make sure you know where you're at, and if you need landowner permission if you're going to be on private lands.
The rules and regulations are different across the state, and this is the perfect opportunity to do the research to make sure that you know where you're going, and if you do need a license or a conservation stamp or nothing, or you know, where you live, if you're inside the state or if you're from out of the state, all of those things will require something different if you are shed hunting.
Also, like certain times of year, like Jackson, they have a shed opener. We do not. We're open year round here.
So you can hunt the sheds here in the Casper region all year round. Basically, if you were out on a hike and you found a shed, you could pick it up and take it home with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, what about, so when folks go out hunting, there are walk-in areas, there are certain areas that ranchers will allow people to hunt. Is that the same when it comes to shed hunting?
So anything enrolled in our Access Yes program, like walk-in areas, hunter management areas, you are not allowed to pick up shed antlers or go onto that property unless you have written landowner permission.
Even if you hunted there, as long as you go back and you talk to the rancher or whoever to get the approval?
Correct. Yeah, you would have to talk to the landowner to go on to shed hunt.
What are some of the options around the Casper area if someone wants to go shed hunting?
So really, Drew, what you need to make sure that you do is you're looking for public land, right? So you're making sure that you're not on private land. You're looking for places that you think might be used by wildlife throughout the year. But it's a huge, this is a huge controversial issue. And one of the things that you want to make sure is that you're doing it ethically, because you don't want to be on lands that actively have wildlife on it during the winter time, right? That's their winter range. They're down, they're stressed. We're trying not to increase that. And that is one of the things that can be fairly controversial. And so we do want to, while we encourage people to be out there and have fun, we do want to remind people that it, you know, your activity can hurt wildlife during the winter. And so making sure that you're aware of that and making the best choices that you possibly can during that time is highly encouraged, because, you know, while it may be fun to be out there and look for the antlers, your activities might kill the animal because it might be too stressed if the snow is deep or any of those sorts of things. So,
and just like any regulation that is in the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, there's a reason behind it. I know people think it's always just to mess with them, but really there is a reason. And you just said the reason in some of those areas. So knowing where to go, knowing what to do, knowing how to do it. And is there a possession limit on any sheds?
There is not. But if you find like a dead elk or dead deer, you need to get game warden permission before you can pick that up.
So if it's a full head or a full body, you need to have permission.
Yep. Anything with the skull plate attached to the antlers.
Okay. Well, obviously there's more information in the website. And are there certain times that are better than others to go shed hunting, Brandon?
So in the morning, a lot of those animals are going to be out feeding. It's a little bit better to wait to the middle of the day when they go and bed down, so you're not pushing those animals off their winter range yet, adding extra stress to them. And then deer, they should be mostly shed out right now. Some of them are still holding, I'm sure, dropping. Elk will really start to drop middle of March, but really getting into April. But if you're out there and you're seeing a lot of animals that have antlers yet, then maybe it's a good time to kind of like back off and be like, well, it's a little bit early, you know, maybe wait a week or two. But also when you're accessing these areas, a lot of times, like this year, the roads can be really wet, and you do not want to be tearing up roads, causing erosion, getting stuck, anything like that. So make sure that the roads are in good condition before you go out there.
Brandon, Janet, we appreciate it. Always great information. And if you have a question for Brandon or Janet or anyone at Game and Fish, you can let me know in the radio station's app, and we'll get that answered for you. Thank you, guys.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, it's been another wacky weather week where we were really nice, and then boom, we got some snow, and then now we're really nice again.
Yeah, that's spring in Wyoming for sure.
And I'll tell you that we were to the point where we were really needing some of the moisture, because, you know, things were starting to dry out and there were fire bans in place. And and now I think we're sitting a little better.
Yeah, you know, snowpack was still, like, before this little storm hit, we were still 102% down, like, in the snowies. So that's only going to help. And this was a nice, big, wet storm.
It sure was. And that'll be there for a little while. Even though it may be 40 down here, it's still cold and the snow is sticking around. And that means that they're going to be out grooming those trails for the next few days, and perfect for getting out on the snowshoes.
Yeah, there's still, you know, lots of different activities. I mean, whether you want to be up on the mountain and, you know, snowshoeing, or doing maybe even a little bit of snowmobiling. We've got lakes that are open now, too. So this lowland stuff, you know, we got some nice days, you know, take your days and get out.
So we obviously talk a lot about going out fishing, and here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, you can get anything you need for fishing or hunting or camping, hiking, however you want to go. And even after you're finished with the catch, you've got the smokers and all the goods there too.
Yeah, we actually had a little trigger walleye the other night. It was really good. But Yeah, we've, you know, this time of year, especially there's going to be some promotions going on with Traeger coming into like Mother's Day and Father's Day, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we've got a full selection of all their grills and every one of their Traeger pellets that they offer right now, including a couple of the new ones. So, yeah, stop by and check them out.
Which obviously coming up in just a couple of weeks is Easter. So you can get that smoker and have that ham all ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great.
You know, we were really looking at what's coming up here in the future. And we've talked about this a lot, how being prepared is always a big thing. And especially when it comes to your boat and your gear. And you guys are always getting new shipments in on gear. And how are you looking fishing wise this year?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, especially in the springtime, is rain gear and good quality rain gear. And last year we brought in a brand of rain gear that I was super impressed with. It's called Striker. And we've expanded on that line. So we've got some bibs, we've got some regular jackets, and then we've got some of the insulated rain gear that's kind of comparable to the Cabela's guide wear. Feels great, fits good. And I'm looking really forward to trying that on and using that this spring.
Which obviously, like we've had this week, the weather could snow in the morning and be sunny and beautiful in the afternoon. So having that, you know, the different options is really beneficial.
Yeah, you know, rain gear is one of those things that I carry in my boat all the time. And a lot of times I'll just throw it on just to kind of break the wind, you know, because once that wind hits you and goes through you, a lot of times you want to get off that water pretty quickly. But that rain gear is, you know, lightweight enough yet durable enough to break that wind and keep you on the water a little longer.
If you're, you know, a guy like me that you don't get out on the boat all the time, but you have your rain gear, and what's an optimal amount of time to have it before you start replacing it or looking to upgrade?
You know, I've had rain gear. A lot of it's just on how you care for it. You know, they don't recommend a lot of times running those through a washing machine and a dryer because it affects the fabric in itself. Right. So it becomes a little more porous and it doesn't actually work as well as rain gear. So, you know, a lot of that stuff, I mean, I just, you know, I'll actually get a garden hose and I'll just kind of scrub, you know, the grime off, and then just how you care for it in general, you know. But I've had some stuff that I've had for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years probably. I mean, it's really durable stuff, and if you buy good quality stuff, it's going to last you a long time.
And that's the thing with the Striker gear is it's durable, it's quality, and well worth any money you spend on it.
Yeah, I've really been really impressed with it, to be honest with you.
Well, obviously there are lots of options and lots of things to do this spring. We're about to get into the time when it's going to get really really busy, and a lot of folks are still looking to do a little hunting, and I know that, you know, at Bob's you can go out and shoot some pheasants over the next couple of weeks, and then it wraps up.
Yeah, bird farms closed down in Wyoming here on the 31st, and the 31st this year happens to be Easter, so I don't think they're running any bird hunts on the 31st, but yeah, there's a few good weekdays available to get out there, and I took my dog out just the other day, and man, it's still fun. I kind of feel bad for the dog because when summer comes, because we're not going to be able to get out and exercise a couple, three times a week and chase things, but you know, they've had a good season out there. They've still got a lot of good pheasants out there. Really, since we haven't had a lot of big heavy snows, the cover has been really good, so it's been fun this year.
So if you can't get out and you still want to do some shooting, the next option would be doing some clay shooting, which you can, they have a course set up out there, or you can just go out and do some plinking, and you guys have all the supplies for that.
Yeah, and the gun club off of Coal Creek, I think, you know, they do meat shoots on Friday nights. I think, well, I don't know if it's the first Friday, but you can probably look that up. And then obviously Stuckanoff's got a couple throwers up there, and then the Casper Skeet Club in town is another good option for guys to get out and, you know, keep their skills fresh.
Yeah, that muscle memory is something that, you know, if you don't shoot from February until September of next year, you know, I mean, it's going to be a little bit.
Yes, no, it's, I mean, and then, of course, you can just, you know, come buy a box of clays and a thrower and just go up on, you know, find some BLM land and go take yourself out doing that. So there's a lot of different options.
The options are large, especially this time of year. Weather's going to become an option where, you know, it's going to be fantastic to get out and spend some time with the family or the dogs, or get out and make your first stop here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports before you head out.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian Woodward back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, we talked things to do, and fishing is one of those. Gosh, we've had maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks of open water at some of the bigger locations that normally would have ice on it still.
Yeah, it's we've got to be at least 4 to 6 weeks ahead of schedule on ice coming off of these lakes. Guys are getting out there and they're being pretty successful. I mean, everybody from the trout fishermen up on Alcova and on the river systems to the walleye guys at Alcova and Glendo and Pathfinders are getting pretty darn close to be able to get on there too. So
I've received a couple of texts on a couple of different days from guys being like, hey, I'm out on a boat right now. Everybody was chomping at the bit, especially with the weather not being that bad through the wintertime.
Yeah, I tend to get a lot of those text messages when I'm working. Like, yeah, thanks, that's guys. Right. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah. I went on a little trip to Deadwood, and I got 3 in one weekend. You know? I'm like, well, all right, guys, fellas, thanks.
No, it's, everybody wants to, itching to get their boat out for that first trip. And, of course, getting the boat ready, it takes, a couple days anyways, mm-hmm. It seems like, if you're putting batteries in or charging batteries and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, the fishing reports that I've heard, I mean, guys have been pretty happy. And, last year, all the river guys really, really struggled with the runoff. That we had a lot of that snow and the river got really muddied up really, really bad. And they're not having to fight with a lot of that big, heavy runoff. So it's been good for them.
I don't want to say bad year because it wasn't that horrible, but, a light winter year is usually good for fishing, but then it's the remnants of that after effect that kind of could hurt us.
Well, it's hard saying. I mean, looks like the snowpack is still holding up pretty good right now. So, just because we're not getting a ton of snow right here in Casper doesn't mean that we're not getting it where we need it. And so that northern Colorado basin and everything through the snowies, as long as they're getting good snowpack there, all that water comes this direction. So we should be good.
Well, and just the other day, I heard the northern Colorado got 12 inches on one day and 18 inches the next day. So yeah. So it's definitely looking pretty darn good. And as we get toward the springtime, the calendar flips this week and mm-hmm. we'll be officially in the spring. You've got a lot of fishing tournaments coming up, and there are fishing banquets, and really just kind of the banquets get the ball rolling for the season.
Yeah, the North Platte Walleyes, the nonprofit here in Casper, they're banquet, which is their annual fundraiser, is April 13th, and if it's not sold out, it's really darn close to being sold out. But it's one of those banquets that it supports a lot of the youth programs, like all the fishing poles that are given away at like mm-hmm. Yesness Pond, and a lot of these school programs where they're teaching kids to fish. That club donates almost 100% of those poles for those events, so about 1,200 fishing poles a year. So that's where the funding is needed to continue those programs, as well as that life jacket loaner program. That's always been a good one. We just, I believe it was 200 life jackets that we just donated back to, and I'm not even sure who's running it now, but it was started by the Casper Fire. But all those stations that you see, like at Murad Park, or as you go into any of these parks like Alcova, all those life jackets that are hanging up on those racks were originally donated by North Platte Walleyes.
I even know here at the main firehouse in downtown, there's a station there. You can either get one or drop it off.
Yeah, they used to have drop boxes and check them out. But I think there's another organization, maybe tied with the Tate Pump House, kind of doing that now. But it was a lot of work for the firemen to kind of keep those things up and going. So we've got the Tough Man tournament coming up at Alcova, April 27th on the Tough Man. Yeah. Yep. A couple weeks later, May, I think, 11th and 12th is the first Walleye Stampede tournament.
Yeah, that'll be at Glendo, which the new owners there at the B&A Marina. Mm-hmm. They look like they're getting things in order and getting things chopped away there.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch and listen to kind of see the updates as they're getting certain things cleaned up and new ideas for camp spots and campgrounds. And they've been really focused on getting those docks secured, because the ice, boy, the ice is rough on these docks as that ice expands and shifts around. And mm-hmm. that outside breaker dock that you and I stand on to check boats in, it's over on top of an island right now.
Oh, really?
So, so yeah, the ice shifted all that. So, yeah, they've got their hands full, and spring's always a lot of work for those guys, and we wish them the best of luck. It looks like they've got some big plans in place.
And that's one of the great parts about the Wyoming Walleye Stampede is when you guys are at an event, you try to keep the money there at the event and help the marinas and all those folks. So coming up in the middle of May, that'll be the first event there. So mm-hmm. you still have some available slots that people can come out and get involved.
Yeah, we've got about 70 boats signed up for that first event. Usually we're just over 100 to 120. So there's plenty of room for that event. The second tournament, we've kind of rebranded as the Governor's Cup, bringing that back to Wyoming, as we haven't had a Gov Cup here for 20 years probably. So that second event at Glendo, June 1st and 2nd, I believe, that event there, we are capping at 140 boats, but a lot of new ideas for that one. Different trophies, different plaques. Winners are going to walk away with a ring, you know, like a Super Bowl ring that shows that they won. So it's a lot of cool ideas on that.
And there's a kids event that'll be connected to that one, and that'll be big.
Yeah, and on the Friday, we're going to give 20 to 30 kids the opportunity to go fish with a pro for a day. So it's really, that one there is really, it's one of the events that I really like the best. I mean, I usually don't even get on the water during that event, because we're putting everything together and making sure the kids mm-hmm. are accounted for and get back in time. a lot of the anglers just love it. They're able to meet a kid that, hasn't really had the opportunity to go fishing, and every once in a while let the kids maybe steer the boat just a little mm-hmm. bit, but just being able to get out there and let these kids catch some fish is a pretty awesome opportunity.
And for these kids to be able to get that fishing story experience, mm-hmm. They'll just be enthralled with all the stories they're going to learn from that.
What was that old program, Kids Say the Darnest Things? Some of these guys, they come back with some of the stories are like, you wouldn't believe what this kid said.
That's a good one. You have a website set up where people can go check out more information on that.
Yeah, WyomingWalleyeStampede.com. And if you kind of want to get an idea, maybe you're just a little worried about, I've never fished an event like this, I don't know what to do. And we have a drone video that my son edited that's on there. And it kind of tells a story of how the boats check in the morning, how they line up, and then basically the rest of the day you just go fish.
It's a well-oiled machine. I've been able to be there for quite a few of these events now, and mm-hmm. you come in and you see something like this, and there's a few hiccups, but nothing that can't be taken care of. It's really cool to see if you haven't. And if you ever watch ESPN or any of those on a Saturday morning, it's not bass, but a lot of those tournaments are kind of the same idea. So
yeah, no, it's a fun time. It's a great camaraderie, and you're basically just going fishing for a day with a buddy or a family member or whoever, and it's a neat opportunity.
It is. Make sure you get over there and check it out, Walleye Stampede, WyomingWalleyeStampede.com, or follow them on Facebook. You guys have a Facebook page that updated pretty recently and regularly. So get over and check that out and get ready to go fishing this spring, and stop by here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.